Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Reformed Centers. My name is Bruce Johnson. That is Jacob Johnson. He's my
brother. Everybody.
And this is the show. You are listening to the show where Reformed Christians dissent against popular ideas of culture by not just postulating, but asserting a biblical world
not
view.
Pragmatism.
That's right. None of those horrible P words. We have quite the episode planned today. Today is a very unique Current Events Wednesday. Yes, it is Current Events Wednesday. I almost said Current Events Monday, and then I caught myself. And today, we are actually going to be discussing an exhortation that my pastor from South Dakota, Pastor Jonathan Hansen, gave at his church this previous Sunday, Easter Sunday, and it was so good. Jake and I decided we needed to talk about it. And so, Jacob, because I just had a ridiculously packed schedule, Jacob graciously interviewed Pastor Hansen on Monday. And so we are going to commentate. Yep, that's a word. We decided that's our word.
We're commentators now.
Yep, we're going to commentate on that interview, break it down, discuss it. It is on fire. So very exciting, but we're also going to play a part of that exhortation so you get to hear what all the fuss is about in case you missed it. But it is quite incredible. Before we get into all that, though, we have to do what we always do, and that's our verse of the week. And this week, yes, we've done it before, but you can't overdo Psalm 2. For crying out loud, it's Psalm 2. And actually, this is exactly what is going to be discussed in the interview and in the exhortation. So I figured, hey, you know what? Jake was trying to shake things up with, you know, like a resurrection theme verse, and I was on board. And then I heard this exhortation, and I was like, I'm so, so sorry, Jake. Vetoing that, maybe?
It was a veto. That's what that was.
Yes.
It wasn't even a three-fourths vote.
I know. I pulled the majority shareholder veto, and that's what we got. So Psalm chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 says, quote, "As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession.'" And again, that's Psalm 2, 6 through 8. Psalm 2 is the quintessential go-to passage when you are feeling down about the world. When you look around and you see chaos, collapse, utter calamity, you see the World Economic Forum doing its evil thing, you see the United Nations existing, and you just see all of this carnage. You see fake President Biden up there and his puppeteers. You see gas prices increasing at absurd rates, prices of really anything increasing at absurd rates. You see economic collapse on the horizon, and you say, what the heck? What is this? I'm a post-millennial. This shouldn't be happening. And then you read Psalm 2, and you realize at the very beginning of Psalm 2, why did the heathen nations vainly rage? Why do the peoples plot a vain thing and take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart? This is not new. This is old. This has been around for a long time. This is the cycle of heathen nations when they become heathen nations. And yes, that's an active choice, and our nation has actively decided to do that, and they will face the consequences, because the next verse says, God sits in the heavens and laughs. He holds them in derision. And then we get to this verse. And that's where this verse fits. As for me, says the Lord, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. And it goes on to say, you will dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel with a rod of iron. And then at the very end of this passage, it says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. The heathen kings are warned. Be wise, be warned. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is a God of fire, of storm, of fury, but also a God who blesses those who take refuge in him and do what they are supposed to do, what they were created to do, and follow the laws that are best for them as created beings in this world that God has created. When you follow the creator of the universe's laws, things will go well. When you don't, and you decide to become a heathen nation, you will get dashed to pieces with a rod of iron. And we are coming very close to that. And on Sunday, in case you missed it, and Jake, I don't know if you want to give a brief introduction as to what happened on Sunday. I don't know if you prepared anything or if you
got to mention it. I really didn't, but I think at this point I've seen enough about it. I can talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's also in the interview too. It's at the beginning. So
yeah.
I forgot about that.
I think something to mention is the fact that this is so Biden, I don't really necessarily how to explain this because Pastor Hansen brought it up decently well. Basically, Biden announced that Easter Sunday, March 31st, was Trans Visibility Day. And I think something you also mentioned is that it's been Trans Visibility Day since 2009. Hmm. My biggest question to that is, why didn't we notice before? Why is this? Yeah. Why are we just noticing it now?
I think because probably the president of the United States, fake or real, has never officially recognized it.
They have, though. Barack Obama in 2013 did. He posted a social media post on his, well, I guess on just his personal social.
Wow.
Mentioned it. And that was, again, March 31st. That was Easter. That was an Easter Sunday. So,
wow.
However, aside from that, but this time, Joe Biden gave no mention to Easter, devout Catholic as he is, gave yes, no mention, supposedly. Yes, again, yeah, supposedly, gave no mention to Easter Sunday, but also added on to that, said he wanted to get little kids involved, as Joe Biden does, but, but he said, I want to see pictures and drawings and pictures sent to the White House and, you know, whatever. For whatever reason, to get people involved. And I don't necessarily care about that. However, what he did say, is that he said he wanted no religious symbols at all.
I think he specifically said Christian, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yep. Easter Sunday. That was Easter Sunday, everybody.
Yep.
But yeah, Pastor Hansen explains it very, very well. And I think we can get right into the, well, we're not getting into the interview. We'll look through his thing.
Yeah. So this is a very short clip, part of his exhortation. So good. I think it's from minute 4 till minute 10, 6-minute exhortation that he gave on Sunday. And we'll link the video below. You should totally check that out. Totally worth it. But here is his exhortation from Sunday, just a part of it.
Our God laughs at the schemes of wicked little kings and presidents. He has set his anointed on Zion's hill. This is a psalm about Christ. Christ is the anointed. He has defeated death. He has won the victory. Beloved, Jesus is king. The nations are his heritage. The ends of the earth are his possession. All the wicked kings who plot to mock God will be broken by Christ's rod of iron. Listen to the word of God again. Let the rulers hear these words and tremble. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Psalm chapter 2, verses 10 through 12.
And the rest of it was just as good.
Equally as powerful. Yeah.
Oh, so good. Yeah. It was really hard to just narrow it down to this much. Okay. So I apologize in advance. Video quality of this interview may not be the best. I'm using technology to try and screen share, and it's a little wonky until we get a better professional setup, a more professional setup. We put a lot of work into this setup, but you know, we're not millionaires. So bear with us if you're watching, but more people listen than watch at this point. So if you're listening, the audio should sound just as good. But I'm going to start off the interview, and what we're going to do is just commentate on it, provide commentary. I should probably stop saying that so I don't sound like an idiot. This is the interview that Jacob and Pastor Hansen and Jacob had on Monday. So here we go.
Alrighty, hello. Thank you, Pastor Hansen, for being here and joining us for this brief interview. For everybody that don't know, this is Pastor Hansen. He has been on our show for several shows. I can't even count at this point. But could
yeah,
you,
I keep joking
let us know?
That I'm a guest host at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Could you let everybody?
Yeah, for those of you who are brand new to the show or maybe haven't tuned in a while, yes, he has been on our show a lot. We had him on when we were going through our Chronicles of Narnia series, and every time at the beginning of the next
month. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The beginning of the first book, we would have him on because he's a huge C.S. Lewis nerd, which is awesome. Just a treasure trove of knowledge there. So, yeah, he's been on a lot. It's been great.
Everybody know the church that you're the pastor of?
Yeah. So when I first came on the show, I was pastoring in South Dakota. But since then, we've moved to Iowa, and I pastor a Ramsey Reformed Church in rural Iowa. It's in a town called Titonka, Iowa. Cornfield country, God's country, flyover country, whatever people want to call it. So I pastor a Reformed church here, and the church has been in existence for 137 years. I believe it'll be 138 this year.
Nice. Yeah. So to get straight into this, could you give us, so we're kind of discussing your opening statement on this past Sunday, and it was kind of in regards to Joe Biden's announcement, if you will. But could you like give us a brief synopsis of like what you were saying, just so our audience is not still wondering what is this statement that he's talking about?
Yeah. So, March 31st was declared as Transgender Day of Visibility. And so Joe Biden had issued a statement from the White House, declaring, you know, that day as set aside to celebrate and to lift up quote unquote transgender voices. And March 31st is this year is also Easter. And so we had these two things coming into direct conflict with one another. We had a pagan celebration of genital mutilation and sin, open celebration of sin in direct conflict with a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. And so I was made aware of this statement.
And I think this will come up later, but just there's no way that was not intentional. I'm sure there are people out there who are like, oh, this comes up every year, you know, March 31st and all. It's like, there is no way this is not intentional. Maybe you remember the name, Jake, but there was this author who talked about Negative World. I don't know if you've heard of this, but
sounds familiar.
Okay. But basically, you know, I think it was pre-80s, Christianity was looked on in this nation as a good thing, right? If you said you were a Christian, it was you who said you were a Christian and another guy who said he wasn't a Christian, you would probably get the job because you were a Christian, right? If you were interviewing for the same position, same skills, and you were a Christian and he wasn't, you would probably get the job because people trusted Christians more. It meant more. It was a positive. It was a good thing. Then you get to the 80s and it's complete. Well, it's not complete opposite, but it's neutral, right? You say you're a Christian and people are just like, oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know about that. It's just kind of,
you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe.
Yeah. We were in that postmodern era. And now, I would say like mid 2000s till now, it's been, and it's been negative. Now we're living in negative world, right? Now we're living in a time when Christianity is actively being oppressed, actively attacked, actively seen as a bad thing.
Oh, you're a Christian. You believe women should stay in the kitchen. Yeah.
Right, right.
That type of stuff,
Yeah. If you say you're a Christian these days in America, you have a less of a chance of getting hired than someone who says they're not a Christian. So to think, especially in this culture, that fake President Biden doing that, his handlers doing what they did, was a coincidence? I think not.
No.
Yeah.
And on Saturday night, the night before Resurrection Sunday. And so I sat down and wrote out a statement just walking through Psalm chapter 2, especially dealing with the resurrection of Christ. Psalm 2 is a very prophetic passage about Christ. Jesus is the fulfillment of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so walking through that, showing how basically what the rulers of our world are doing, what President Biden was doing, was playing the part of the mockers and the scoffers, the kings in Psalm 2, mocking God, hating God, plotting against God, setting themselves against God, taking counsel against the Lord and his anointed, and trying to just give our church a charge of these two things are completely incompatible. And we as a church stand firm on the resurrected Lord and the sanctity of God's creation of man, male and female, and that we are directly opposed to any celebration of sin, not just transgenderism, but that was the focus. So,
yeah, I know you mentioned at the very beginning, kind of your job as a pastor to sort of mention these things, especially when it's on a political level, but that you speak about the whole counsel of God. Could you expound on that a little bit more?
Yeah. So one of the things that I brought up in that statement is a goal of mine as a pastor. Really, the calling of a minister of God is to present the whole counsel of the Word of God and how that does intersect with politics. We believe that the Bible is our only rule of faith and life. And so that intersects with everything. But one of my goals as a pastor is I don't want to just be a political commentator. And so I try to be reserved in certain aspects when dealing with politics. But really what pushed me to make this statement was there are moments where as a pastor, I don't say something, I'd be ashamed standing before Christ, not having made a statement saying this is wrong.
That I thought was just awesome.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we don't live for ourselves, right? What is thy greatest comfort in life and in death? That I am body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Right?
Yeah.
It's the longer Heidelberg Catechism, number one. And that is so true. That is the... If you get that, you will get what he's saying. And it will cause you to take action. When you realize you're not living on this earth for yourself, but to bring glory to God and to do what you can, where God has put you, to the best of your ability to glorify him, right? And so that's what he's saying there. In his position as a pastor, as a shepherd of that flock, he would not be in the right. He would be remiss of his duties if he did not speak out against this. Now, think about that and think about all the other pastors in America who did not preach against this.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe even who preached for it. Right? That's a scary position to be in. Think about the duty of a pastor. That's an office. Just like we say civil magistrates have duties in their position, pastors do too. And this was very well put, I think, on his part. So anything, Jake, you wanted to add?
I kind of want to stay because I feel like I talk a lot, especially in the interview, asking the questions a lot. So I'll let Bruce give a lot of his first raw reactions. I'll try and stay back a little bit as much as possible because I think my opinion clears through in this interview itself.
Yeah.
So just for everyone out there, if you don't hear me talking as much, well, you probably will hear me talking a lot in this interview. So
it's not present, Jake.
Right, right. So if you hear a lot from Bruce, perfect. That's the goal.
Really, I like to tell people, it's not that I'm stepping into the political sphere, it's that the political sphere is overstepping into the religious sphere.
I like that.
I'm very much a Kuiper. Yeah.
It's a good line.
I do very like that. And I know I just said I wasn't going to step in as much, but I did really like that. The very fact that, hey, the church government is not here to step in and take control of the civil government.
Yep.
But when it does notice issues, it has to keep the civil government in line.
Yeah.
It does. Because the pastor is the one who has God's law. The civil government should also have God's law and should be following God's law every day. But the pastor is the one reading through God's law and going through his word and leading his people, leading his church, which he should lead the civil magistrate as well. So I liked the way he put that, not to butcher it with my own wording and stuff on it, but I definitely love the way you put that.
Yeah.
Puritan Calvinist, for those who know what that means, believing that God ordained these separate spheres. And one of the roles of the church is to proclaim the prophetic voice of the word of God and say, this is righteous or this is evil, even down to the political sphere. And so my goal is not to, I believe in my statement, I put it something along the lines of, I don't want to be a political commentator who's cosplaying as a pastor, but to also teach my people that the word of God does address these things. Yeah. And we have to proclaim as a church what the word of God says.
Yeah. I thought that was put very well. The fact that the pastor doesn't always get involved in political spheres, but when it comes to speaking about biblical principles and biblical law, a pastor would have to get involved at some point to make sure that the magistrate is doing what they're supposed to be doing. So moving on to another question, I know many Democratic senators came out saying on social media that if you don't celebrate Trans Day of Visibility, you are not Christian. Could you kind of like show your reaction to that statement and how you would respond to that?
That is, I'm trying not to go full Martin Luther here and make you guys have to censor some statements, but that is just utterly ridiculous. Being a Christian fundamentally means we're saved by grace alone through faith alone. But one of the things people a lot of times leave off of that is that we are saved in accordance with the scriptures alone. The fundamental Christian perspective is that the word of God is inerrant. It is without error. It is truth. It contains the very breath of God, as Paul says, is theanoustos. It is breathed out by God. And one of the things that scripture makes abundantly clear is that God made mankind male and female. And so the Christian perspective, and I might get some pushback on this from more liberal Christians, but that's okay. I say a lot of things to offend them anyway. The Christian
we do too.
Perspective is that transgenderism is not real. Transgenderism does not exist. You are made either male or female.
Amen to that. That, I think, is what we need to make more clear on our side. That's got to be our argument. No, I'm sorry. Transgenderism is not a thing.
That is something very interesting. I've been going to this Anglican church, and the pastor came out and said, the very fact he's like, no, the transgendered marriage is not a marriage. It is not. Don't call it a marriage. They are not conjoined. They are not. Yeah. Well, yeah. Transgender, gay, whatever. What LGBTQ weirdness, I don't even understand.
Abominable acts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's not marriage. We shouldn't say it is. God's law is the basis for everything. And he tells us what's marriage, and that is between a man and a male and a female.
Yep.
And any alteration to that is bodily mutilation, which the Bible expressly forbids. But you cannot change the fact that you are made male or female. And so the most hateful thing a Christian can do is sort of prop up people's delusions and mental illness and sicknesses. You know, if a man came into my office and said, I think I'm a woman, the worst thing that I could do as a pastor is feed that delusion.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. To keep going on with this, I know you mentioned Psalms 2. I definitely, listening to that opening statement, I couldn't say anything other than powerful. It was very, very powerful. But also the very fact that you use Psalms 2, and especially the way that you used it, how when you were speaking about first that the rulers mock and they plot against God. But I also loved that then you continued on and said, and now look at how God responds. Could you explain that a little bit and how God's response to these rulers mocking him?
Might be the most powerful laid out example of God responding to those types of people. I mean, the book of Revelation as well and others, but I mean, this is of epic proportions.
Yeah. So Psalm 2 is really one of my favorite Psalms. But a lot of times we as Christians, when we see things like this, we don't know how to respond. And so one of the things I wanted my people to walk away from this with is how does God respond? You know, our response as Christians is to look to God. And so, you know, so often we can be consumed by looking at the world and going, okay, why is all this happening? What do we do? And we can be overwhelmed by the evil of our rulers. But when we look to God, we see he's not fazed. And that's one of the central things that we see within Psalm chapter 2 is God is not fazed by any of this. He sits in heaven and laughs at them. I mean, as if these puny little rulers of earth could ever in any way touch him or affect him. I mean, he sits in heaven and he laughs at them. And then it goes into this beautiful dialogue of what he's done. And what God has done is he set his anointed, and his anointed is Christ. Psalm chapter 2 is fulfilled in Christ. I mean, you know, he says, ask of me for a heritage, you know, ask of me for the nations as a heritage and I'll make them yours. You know, all the ends of the earth belong to God's anointed, which is Christ. And so the reality is we look at this and Joseph Biden makes a direct attack on Christianity. I mean, the established regime within Washington, D.C. and across the United States has made a direct attack on Christianity. And what's our response? Christ is king. You're not.
Amen.
You know, it's Jesus owns the nations. He purchased them. He owns the end of the earth. He's king. He's seated with all authority in heaven and on earth. And the response of that, there's this call, a call for response to the rulers of the earth in Psalm 2, which is they should tremble. They should kiss the sun, lest in his rage he crushes them.
Yeah. Well, this has been an amazing interview. Pretty short, but definitely we will go a lot more into this on our show. But thank you very much for joining us, Pastor Hansen. Thank you for having this amazing discussion.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We definitely hope to have you on our show many more times in the future.
I look forward to it. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Have a good day.
You too.
That was brilliant. Jacob, thanks for all the awesome questions there. That was, it's really nicely done. And, I thought that was a really good insight. And, if that doesn't get you and the audience inspired to check out that exhortation, I don't know what will. You should definitely check that out. It's below in the description of this video. I think it's like from minute 4 till minute 10, but I mean, just check out the whole service too. It's good. It's really good.
I was going to say, if that was just the exhortation, you better believe the sermon was just as good.
Yeah. 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 It's good stuff. Any final thoughts, last minute thoughts? You've got literally last minute.
I loved his answers to everything. I think it was very well done, which that's to be expected from Pastor Hansen at this point. This is why we keep having him on our show.
Oh yeah. Know? Oh yeah.
So.
Yep. Great stuff as always. Well, thank you, Jake, for setting aside time to do that with him. Thank you, Pastor Hansen. If you're listening, we really, really appreciated that. That was such a great message. And to all the other pastors out there that gave similar messages this past Sunday, or have exhorted their congregations in a similar manner. Thank you all for standing for the truth, for standing for our King. And if you are an audience member who's going to a church and this does not sound like something your pastor would ever do, it's time to look for another church. And with that, we're looking forward to seeing you on Friday, where we will be back to discuss the next two chapters in Adam Terrell's book, Public Stoning, God's Answer? Design. God's Design for a Nation Without Prisons. And it's good stuff. Jake, what are we doing this week? Chapters 3 and 4?
Yeah, I think. No, 4 and 5?
5. Oh, okay. We have this written down somewhere. We should just look at our notes. Anyways, it's the next two chapters from what we talked about last week. Anyways, we are looking forward to seeing you on Friday. And have a great rest of your week, everyone. And remember, in all that you do, do it as unto the Lord.